This is the OANDA podcast, brought to you by Jazz FM's Business Breakfast.
Yes, welcome back to the OANDA weekly podcast, brought to you with the Jazz FM Business Breakfast. I'm Johnny Hart. Each week, we review the business and market stories that made the headlines, as well as look forward to the business week ahead with OANDA senior market analyst Craig Earlham. Well, it certainly was a dramatic week.
The FTSE 100 has crashed following other global markets and fears over US interest rate rises. It opened down 3.5%.
The sell-off represents the ebb and flow of our stock markets. The most important numbers to focus on are the fundamentals.
Let's not get carried away. Let's not pretend that this is 2008 all over again. Hopefully, this will have very little to no impact on anyone in their everyday lives.
It will be necessary, likely to be necessary, to raise interest rates to a limited degree in a gradual process, but somewhat earlier and to a somewhat greater extent than we had thought in November.
Yes, let's get the thoughts of OANDA's senior market analyst Craig Earlham with his view on the past business week as well as a preview of the week to come. Craig, hi there.
Good afternoon, Johnny. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Against expectations, it was a dramatic week. If you recall, this time last week, we were expecting something a bit more quiet, weren't we? And we heard you on the opening montage allude to the crash earlier in the week. So I guess no prizes for guessing your market moment of the week.
Absolutely. And I'm starting to wish that my market moment of the week could be more positive. But unfortunately, these negative stories just keep passing us by. The situation on Monday really was quite phenomenal. We had a small sell-off this time last week, and it got people worrying because 2% seemed like a lot at the time. Little did we know that Monday was going to be far more dramatic, and heading into the end of that US session, what we were going to experience was dramatic selling in the Dow Jones. And just to put this into perspective, this isn't the biggest single day percentage loss ever. I think it's the biggest in about 2 years, but it's the single biggest points drop ever in a day. So that is quite significant, especially when you then follow that with another drop of above 1,000 points, which would make that the second biggest daily drop.
And of course, it was those US employment figures that led to those big falls. Why was it such an important bit of data?
It's always a big piece of data. The US jobs report is arguably the biggest economic data report that we get each month. But I think when it comes to these figures, what we have to remember is there's always the trigger, the catalyst. But more importantly, there's these underlying reasons why markets are ready to go. And that's what we've seen here. The jobs report was the trigger. The economy, after those Fed minutes last week, appeared to be in a much stronger position than people were anticipating. And therefore, markets were effectively behind the curve when it came to pricing in future interest rate hikes from the central bank. So when these adjustments started to happen, they happened quite quickly. Then that created the shock which reverberated through the rest of the financial markets and was particularly seen in the equity markets. But ultimately, what we saw, I believe, is a sign that the markets were a little overextended, were a little complacent. We'd seen 2 years since the last correction of any significance. And I think this was a sign that markets were just ready to correct. This is healthy in markets. 10% corrections are healthy. When you start moving above 20%, then that's when the concerns begin.
It's unusual, though, isn't it, to have it in two different spurts. We had the one earlier in the week, and then just when we thought it was safe to get out of the water, the volatility returned. That is quite unusual.
It is quite unusual, but it's also quite unusual to see such a sharp move in the first phase. They always say, I think that the favourite phrase is, you go up the stairs and you come down the elevator. What we saw here was a very sharp decline on that first day, and it was very unexpected. And at times the markets were moving extremely aggressively, and that was where the shock factor came in. It looked as though we'd found some stability, but I think as I alluded to in a show earlier this week, we saw a little bit of stability, but it looked to me like the markets were still very volatile, and that tends to be a negative sign. And then we saw yesterday that there was more downside to come. It'll be very interesting to see how we start the week, because I would not be surprised if we see another session or so with excessive amounts of volatility and some more downside.
Well, we'll talk about next week in a moment or two, but we'll also talk about the Bank of England's quarterly inflation report, specifically Governor Mark Carney's comments. But first this.
I'm Michael Wilson from Jazz FM, and we're on air with the Business Breakfast Monday to Friday from 6 until 6.30 each weekday morning, where the team will not only digest what's happened in the last 24 hours, but also look forward to what's going to make the business world spin in the next 24. The Business Breakfast, weekdays from 6 a.m. on Jazz FM, on DAB, online, or just ask Alexa.
Well, you're listening to the OANDA Weekly Podcast with me, Johnny Hart, and OANDA's Senior Market Analyst, Craig Earlham. Craig, let's turn to the Bank of England. And earlier we heard Mark Carney, the Governor, in our opener with a strong indication of an imminent rise in rates, although he did slightly correct himself at the media conference. First said it would be necessary, and then he said it would be likely to raise interest rates. We've had many false dawns regarding a significant rise in rates over the years, but on this occasion, markets look fairly convinced that there is going to be another reasonably big rise very shortly.
But I think we should stress reasonably big by the standards that we've become accustomed to, 25, 50 basis points compared to what we've had over the last decade of one interest rate hike of 25 basis points is more substantial. However, in reality, it shouldn't have too great an impact. I've said on the show before, it is surprising to me that the Bank of England seems so intent on raising interest rates because inflation isn't too far above where their target should be. The economy is performing well, but it's not performing great. And there is a lot of risks associated with Brexit for the next 12 months. So I'm very surprised that the Bank of England is clearly sending these messages that it intends to raise interest rates. And the result is that markets are now forecasting a rate hike for May. And that's almost contributing to the problem which we've just been speaking about with the volatility in the markets, because usually when you see this volatility and you see this sharp repricing and the negativity in equities, it's potentially a sign that investors and people involved in the markets aren't necessarily on the same page as the central bankers.
And as you say, surely with Brexit looming, a rise in rates could be dangerous for an economy which, although steady for the time being, could be sensitive to any meaningful rise in the rates should things get choppy when we leave the EU.
And that's the big concern. We've already seen the corrective moves that we've seen in the property markets. We've been talking for so much and so long, and Mark Carney himself alluded to this, the consumer squeeze because of higher inflation and lower wage growth. Why this would therefore be the correct time to talk about raising interest rates, which means that people are paying more on their loans, their credit cards, their mortgages, if they're getting new mortgage quotes and they're up for renewal. Why this is seen as the right time rather than holding off for another 12 months and providing support to an economy that is performing moderately okay but not great and facing risks is a big question for me, and it's something that I personally really struggle to justify.
Although if you can cast your mind back in a bit of recent history with Mark Carney, can you recall his forward guidance a few years ago when he said the rate would go up once we went below 7%? Unemployment, that never happened, did it?
No, and central bankers around the world have been lambasted over the last few years for their almost old school belief on what tight markets are and the impact that they will have on the inflation rate and therefore interest rates. Previously, they've been downgrading the forecast for what the neutral rate of unemployment is, for example, saying that unemployment can fall further before markets become too tight and inflationary pressures start to feed through to the economy. It's a very difficult job. I think we have to understand this, being a central banker and providing guidance in such uncertain and rapidly changing countries. And that's what we're seeing. And when you've got the backdrop of Brexit on top of that, it does make their jobs very difficult. All they can do is provide what guidance they have based on the data they have available to them. The problem that I have with this compared to, for example, these previous acts of forward guidance is that this one just simply doesn't make any sense to me.
And ironically, Craig, of course, with a stronger pound, because of these rumours of a rate rise, that makes our imports cheaper. And even the oil price might come down on this side of the channel. Maybe inflation will go down a little bit because of these rumours.
Exactly. And I think this is one of the things we have to take into consideration. Mario Draghi was previously the master of talking the currency in the direction he wanted without actually doing anything to move it. And you have to wonder whether the Bank of England in this scenario, although it seems unlikely at this point, but whether the Bank of England in this case is trying to talk up the prospect of a rate hike, trying to nudge the markets in that direction. We'll continue to do so in the hope that they can actually talk up the value of the pound and naturally bring inflation a little bit lower, and therefore not need to actually act on interest rates themselves, because they'd be given the excuse that we no longer need a rate hike because inflation is at 2.5%, 2.4%. I guess we'll have to wait and see whether that is the case, but I certainly think it's one theory.
We spoke about Bitcoin last week, Craig, and I suppose it's quite ironic that we started with the rate of around 8,000, wasn't it? And we've ended that way.
Yeah, I mean, this is quite unusual week for Bitcoin. Well, there's aspects of it, I guess, that are unusual. One, that it's ended the week roughly where it started, given the size of the moves that we've actually seen over the last few months. But we've still had plenty of volatility because, as always, we are comparing it to other instruments at times, and we have to remember that it very much is unique. Bitcoin fell as low as $6,000 this week. It's back close to $8,500. That's a rise of around more than 40% off its lows. This is something that you only seem to see in Bitcoin, but it seems that we've become used and we've become accustomed to these moves so much that it no longer seems out of the ordinary. But these are still quite phenomenal amounts of volatility.
Craig, let's finally turn to next week, and what should we look out for?
Well, I think next week is going to be a little bit quieter, and these are probably famous last words, considering what we were anticipating ahead of this week. But in terms of things like the economic data and the main events, there isn't a huge amount that stands out to me. There's no major central bank announcements from what I can see. There is some key data points which we should be keeping a close eye on. So we're talking about things like the inflation data from the US and the UK, because ultimately when we're talking about these central banks potentially raising interest rates, then the inflation numbers themselves are going to be key barometers for what they're going to do. And if the inflation data in the UK is lower than we're expecting, then that takes away from some of the message that Mark Carney was trying to send. So these two, in terms of the data releases, really do stand out for me. But ultimately, the key thing about next week is going to be similar to what this week's turned out to be. Are markets going to continue to be extremely volatile? Are we going to see some more downside? Are they going to stabilize? That's going to be the key thing that people are going to be watching out for next week, because ultimately that's been the biggest story of this week.
Okay, Craig, we'll speak to you again next week. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, you too.
That is Craig Earnham, Senior Market Analyst at Oanda.
Was the Oanda podcast from the team behind Jazz FM's Business Breakfast, a daily early morning 30-minute briefing for the day ahead. On air from 6 a.m. Listen to Jazz FM on DAB, online, or just ask Alexa.